Waiting is an unusual occupation, and unless you're a child waiting for Santa Claus to show up on Christmas morning, sometimes waiting is a kind of arduous task, you know? There are a lot of kind of things that you can wait for. Sometimes you just wait for some news for yourself, you wait for news from someone you love. Yeah, sometimes you just want something to be over, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's the sort of thing that happens, always happens late at night. And all of a sudden you get that burning sensation here, you know, and you start thinking about, well, what is this, see? And, you know, you start doing the arithmetic. What did I do this day that caused this to happen? Is this heartburn? Is this that, you know, hiatal hernia acting up? Is this the last act? Is this going to be cardiac arrest or whatever? See, and you say, I don't want to go at nighttime, so I'm going to hope that the dawn comes, you see. And from some personal experience, you know, there get to be moments when you say, you know, if I wait till dawn to come, this is going to be the last night I'm here, so it's probably time to pick up the phone and get to some place where they can do something about this. You know, and then, of course, life has its kind of strangeness about it. You know, you hope that when you get to this place where somebody is going to, you know, weave some magic and save your life as you're waiting for this whole thing to pass, that, you know, it's going to be the guy who went to Harvard Medical School, you know, and was the resident at Johns Hopkins. And more life than not, it's going to be some guy whose first name is Ramaphil and his last name has got 37 letters in it, you know, and he went to some school, you know, of levitation and elephant husbandry somewhere halfway around the world, but turns out to be the guy who actually knows exactly what has to be done in order to save your life. See? And the world gets to be a smaller place, and all of a sudden you realize that the guy who went to Harvard Medical School is still stuck up here at I.G. Burton waiting for the detail guy to get that pesky oil spot that they left on those vicuna carpets that the guy's wife gave him for Christmas on his Mercedes. See? And so all of a sudden, you know, the world takes on a whole different kind of look here. So we wait for all manner of things. Now, you know, the Bible is sort of all about this. The Bible is really a story about people waiting to be redeemed. Well, you stop and think about it. That's the common thread. That's the common denominator. That's what the story is all about. See? You get at the beginning, things are good for a while, and then all of a sudden we need redemption. And then, of course, we're waiting. We're waiting. Waiting. Now, by the time Jesus Christ comes along, the people of this story, the Jewish people, have been waiting 1,500 years. That's a pretty long time, see? That's many generations of these people. See? Now, you would think, wouldn't you, that if you've been waiting all that time, see, for some sort of relief from what's going on, that when the event happens, somebody would say, hallelujah, wow, can breathe easy now, see? You know, the doctor tells you, you know, next time you go down to Agave, just don't dip into that bowl of, you know, Arapaho Fireball salsa, and you're going to be okay. I'm glad that's over with, see? But the fact of the matter is, you know, Jesus arrives. The Messiah is here. And it gets to be kind of a, meh, no. It's kind of this ho-hum sort of experience. Ah. Now, there's the great story in the Gospel of John, beginning of the Gospel of John, speaking about the call of the disciples. And you know, you can apply this to any one of the stories of the called disciples. I've used this particular story once before, but in a different context. You know, it's like Jesus finds these people in the midst of life as it is lived for them, and he just invades their lives and says, hey, follow me. You know, and so the guy throws down his abacus and walks out of the tax office and becomes, you know, a disciple. Or, you know, Luke gives up being a doctor and, you know, he becomes a disciple. You know, James and John say, you know, this is really a lousy job. I'd rather be a fisher of men than be a fisherman. So, okay, we're going to go do this, see? Well, then there's this story, the one that you've heard me speak of before, you know. Nathanael is under a tree and he's at repose. And Philip just disrupts his, afternoon slumber here and says, "We found him. We found the one that Moses and the prophets had spoken of." Okay. And of course, it's just the kind of response I'm talking about here. Nathanael has this kind of ho-hum moment about this. You know, you would think he would spring to his feet. "I've been waiting my entire life for this. All of my ancestors have been waiting lifetimes for this to happen." Well, who is it? It's Jesus, you know, the one that Moses and the prophets spoke about. It's the Messiah. Well, wait a minute. Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth? You know, it's Mary and Joe's kid? No. See, no, couldn't possibly be. Why, you had a case of lunch bag letdown here. I thought you actually had something here, a promise, see? But here's the moment. In all of these moments of waiting, you have a choice. You have a choice of either getting up and doing something or doing nothing. See? Dereliction, we'll call that. You know, dereliction is that kind of doing of nothing or doing the wrong thing to your peril. It's just a whole lot more nefarious than apathy, see? Dereliction is like, you know you should be doing something, but you just don't do it anyway, see? Why? Because you can come up with 50 zillion excuses as to why you don't want to do it, or why this isn't the right moment, or this isn't the right guy, see? So Nathanael, to his credit, actually gets up. Now, he doesn't have far to go. You know, Jesus is right down the street, but at the same time, he at least gets up from underneath the tree. See? Now, that's the moment in life that we all kind of want. And I contend it's the moment in life that we're often handed, but we just never quite understand what it is. See? You know, some people just are willing to acquiesce to just about anything. Certain people just can't get motivated by anything. Other kinds of people are always wanting the answer that they want. Say, when you get to the hospital, I want the guy that says he graduated from Harvard Medical School to work on me. Say, well, that's not going to be the way life plays out. But maybe you lucked out and you got the guy who really knows what he's doing. Oh, okay. See, now there are certain people. See, my wife is among them. See, when the attributes of life are handed out, you know, when we're being created, I contend that there are different lines you can get into, see. One of the last lines you get into is the patience line, see. Or I'm going to be endowed with a certain amount of patience. Well, my poor wife didn't know the line was there, see. So it just never manifested herself in there. You know, we got to get this done, see. And it played out in just great way the other day, see. Our daughter is a mom for the first time on Mom's Day, see? So we got to get daughter Bryn something for Mom's Day. So we'll get it delivered. So we call up 1-800-FLOWERS, see? It'll be there on Thursday, see? Well, if you have no patience, you get up on Thursday morning early and you start pacing the floor waiting for the phone to call. Where is the flower? Where are these things? See, my daughter hasn't called. Okay, all right, see? So now you're in Will's world. All right, so now We're in a situation here where all of a sudden, you know, it gets to be about 10 o'clock in the morning. She's been at work a long time. This coming FedEx absolutely positively had to be there overnight. It's got to have been there by now. So we get on the phone. See, now here's a little piece of inside information for you. If you want to get something for free, call my wife first, see? Because she gets some poor gal in the Philippines. This is sort of like my emergency room story, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you know, this is like, English is the 12th language for this poor girl, so consequently, you know, what's the name? Well, it begins with a K. Q? No, K. Q! K! No, okay. You know, you've all been there, right? So, give me the supervisor, give me the CEO, give me the guy who's on TV, you know, whoever it is. Get the guy on the phone. So, there we are. So, well, we're terribly sorry. We'll send roses. It didn't get sent. It's not there. Not even FedEx can get it there now. Oh, my. So, nope, I just want a credit. Lo and behold, Friday afternoon, it shows up at the office. See? Meanwhile, we bought something else. So now we're the biggest overachieving parents in America because now daughter at work gets all these packages and they say, well, what's wrong with these people? See? Patience. Patience is a part of waiting, isn't it? And one of the great propellants of that is hope. Hope that there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel. The other big component to it is faith. See? Faith that what's promised is going to get there. Okay. Now, my wife, God love her, is very good about the big things in life, but getting flowers to her daughter is just not among them, see? But when it comes to the big picture, we all need to exhibit a certain amount of that hope and faith that's embodied in patient waiting, see? But not to be derelict when an opportunity finally presents itself. Okay? Why? Well, what are we promised? Okay. We're promised that everything in life is going to be okay. What does Jesus say to Nathanael when he finally meets him? Oh, look, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Now, guile's not a word we use a whole lot, but what guile really means is no ulterior motive. A guy who's candid, frank, honest. There's a guy who's coming to see me because he really just wants to know who I am. Wow! See, there's a whole lot of stuff embodied in that little word. Here is an honest guy. And what does Nathanael see for having gotten up and made a little trip? Oh, you are the Son of God. Whoa. Now, you see, this entire story is all about that moment. Okay? And what is neat about that is that Jesus knows who Nathanael is. How do you know me? Well, I saw you sleeping underneath the tree down the street here. I know your name. Oh, okay. Now, we're made a promise. Okay. The promise is that God has made a lot of outlandish promises and He's fulfilled every last one of them. Okay. And the most outlandish of them is that irrespective of how you come before God, if you get up and take the journey and you're not derelict about expecting some kind of positive result at the end of it, may it be the one you anticipated or not, you're going to get a set of rewards that are just incomprehensible. The world is asked, is beckoned to get up and take a few steps in a particular direction, in the hope that everything is going to be transformed. And the saddest story about all this is that so many people just don't bother to do it. We're so derelict about it. We have a zillion excuses as to why we can't do it or why this can't possibly be the right one. And every one of us in this room has got some life story that will speak to the fact that how the improbable has turned out to be a reality. Okay? How the most ridiculous thing has turned out to be a blessing. We all have it. Of how we waited for something that we wanted it to be this and it ended up to be that, and boy, are we glad it ended up to be that. Okay. Now, if you're like me, when you make this journey, you're not going to be guileless, you know, because we all come swaddled in all the stuff that life has made us, all of the disappointments, all the anxieties, all the agonies, all of the pains. But you're going to have an opportunity, you see, to stand and search for this being, the Son of God. Why? Because it's the only thing that can make you whole. Because it's the only thing that can make us what we were originally created to be. And you know what the good news in this story is that that power, the power of all being, the God of all history, knows your name and knows my name, just like he knew Nathaniel's name, you see. And all you're asked to do is search, that you might find God, you might find yourself, and you might find your destiny. You know, don't blow it. Because the God who knew Nathaniel knows every one of us. Let us pray. Eternal God, we come before you with the baggage of life, with all of our imperfections, with our lack of gratitude, our willfulness, our neglect, and yet we trust you to accept us with all of our flaws because we know that above all things you love us. Help us therefore to seek your Son, to seek your gifts, to seek to be your people, people of love and unity and power and grace and peace, that we might venture forth in life, filled with a sense of hope and faith, and filled with anticipation that we might someplace, someday, find you, and that you will know our name, and that we will know your name. So help us in all things to be filled with that revelation, and may your Spirit be with us and direct us always to be your children. Amen.